Last night at the Billy Goat, which is a noted tavern not far from here, there was a very big crowd, big for a Saturday night, big for any night, because it was a celebration of the career of Ray Long, my friend, one of Chicago's great reporters, and the guy on the phone. Ray, how are you? Are you hungover?
Terrific.
Hungover?
No, I was sweating so much it came right out of the body, I tell you what.
It sure looked like a grand celebration. You have retired from the Chicago Tribune. That doesn't mean you retire from life. Talk to me, Ray, and I'm not sure I know much about this. What drew you to journalism in the first place?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I would drive to the big city of Springfield or ride in the back seat of the 1960 Chevy from the little town of Winchester where I grew up. We'd drive over to Springfield, and I'd try to be the first one to spot the Capitol Dome. And then many, many years later, I became the guy who wanted to spot what was going on inside that Capitol Dome first and tell readers. I always liked the ability to get out there and get the news first. And it's part of my competitive nature. And I always wanted to get it first, but always get it right. And that's what I tried to do over the years.
What was your first job in journalism?
I worked as an intern for the Alton Telegraph, Alton, Illinois, down in Metro East across from St. Louis. And I was an intern in the Illinois Capitol, State House press room. And so I got hooked on it. Hooked on the whole thing. That was the first year. It was 1981, and it was the first year that Mike Madigan was a legislative leader. He was a minority leader, Mike Madigan. Mm. George Ryan was the Republican House Speaker.
You know, he's talking about his early career, but he most recently has written an incredible book. No one has watched Mike Madigan for better and worse over his career than Ray Long. The house that Madigan built, record run of Illinois's Velvet Hammer, is an astonishing book. Ray's been on this show talking about it before. Did you sell books last night at the Billy Goat? You should have, man. You should have.
I think there were a few.
Good.
There were a few. I didn't make a point of it, but they still got them on the shelf there, and they're going to have them there for a while.
Was it hard? Was it hard to pull the trigger after, you know, kind of 30, 40, 50 years in this business? Because you and I both know that being in the newspaper business is kind of a narcotic element to it, where there are real highs in this business, and the first one probably seeing your first byline. Has it been hard yet?
Not yet. I mean,
yeah.
I had wanted to retire, and my wife is a little bit older than me, and she's wanted me to retire. And the whole idea is that I wanted to leave while I still got game, and
yeah.
I didn't want to be the guy walking around the newsroom passing out popcorn to the younger reporters and talking about the old days, you know. So I wanted to
that can be me now. Yeah. So thanks a million.
You're still the young man, though. You're still a young man.
Yeah. But it had to be. You know, I know you were doing it a lot for your wife, and you think about it. But there's got to be a little jolt involved, especially having watched, you know, the week of your party was a week where, you know, 10 more people were laid off from the Tribune, and God knows we've seen that happen. You know, in many ways, you can feel really fortunate because you have not had to, you know, the suffering for you is over. And I know what was it like to see over the years? I'm not going to talk about myself until I pull the trigger, but what was it like to see the paper kind of shrink?
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing to see the paper that once had bureaus all over the world
and
big Washington, D.C. bureau now try to rely more on the wire services for the international and national news, and then instead of having our own people there who are looking out for the Chicago angles or the Illinois angles or the Midwest angles. And to see the squeeze on a really top shelf newsroom is saddening. It's a sad thing to watch, but we still have so many great reporters there still, and they still do great work. And that was one of the great parts that I look at here to think there's a silver lining in keeping the paper going, but it is a sad tainted silver lining when fellow reporters are let go.
How many people were there last night at your goodbye party? Would you guess? I know you weren't doing a head count, but it looked like it looked like as crowded as Billy Goat in the old days, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, it was more than 150. Might have been upwards of 200, but I don't know if that's I don't have a full count on it, but I do know that I counted over 150 and just trying to remember.
Now, did you encounter any tourists? I was just wondering what the tourists who were in there saying, wow, what kind of place is this? Is it always like this? There must have been some there sort of open mouthed at the whole thing, right?
Yeah, one of our colleagues said there was somebody in from France who said, you know, what is going on here?
Who is a Ray Long human being? Anybody surprise you? Were any of the bosses, any of our current bosses there, did they show?
The tip-top bosses were not there, but the line bosses, the editors came out in force, led by John Chase, who was my boss for years, extremely talented, Jeff Cohen, Todd Panagopoulos, who's on the masthead as the photo editor, and he was there. But you know, I wasn't actually surprised that the top folks were not there because of the layoffs last week and ill feelings throughout the newsroom.
Yeah, I can understand that. Also, your name has gone up on the wall at the Billy Goat, has it not?
Yeah. That's an incredible feeling for sure.
Well, you know why it's a really incredible feeling? I'll tell you this. I wrote a book about the Billy Goat. I know this pretty well.
Yes.
Because you know what you used to have to do to get on the wall of the Billy Goat? You had to die. You had to be dead. You had to be dead to get on the wall. And that changed some years ago because there were so many people whose careers ended and they came to the Goat, and that's been a place of celebration for decades since it opened. Since it opened in 64. Now, I heard a little of your speech and I found it very moving. Did anybody else speak?
John Chase, my boss, gave an introduction to me, and it was humbling and very kind, and said many wonderful things. And I felt that a lot of us were at this kind of crucial point, a critical point in politics and journalism and government coverage.
Yeah.
And we just need to stand strong. And that was a message that I tried to say.
I think there's something really, really sort of poetically fitting about you starting your career when Mike Madigan started his career, and you know you are ending on a very up note, and he is ending on a very down note. We'll take a little commercial break if you don't need to go do something to fix your hangover. can hang on for a few minutes and talk a little more. Talk a little more with Ray Long. You will not see his byline in the Chicago Tribune any longer. Ray Long has the, and I guess it's like being a Marine, once a reporter, always a reporter. You will always be a reporter to me, Ray, but you had a celebration of your lengthy career last night at the Billy Goat. You sound really good for someone who's having a celebration at the Billy Goat. You were also the author of a remarkable book. As you said earlier, you have followed the career of Mike Madigan as intensely and intimately as anybody. And as the result is the house that Madigan built, the record run of Illinois' Velvet Hammer, which was an amazing book. And it, for those of you who are just now catching up with the life and times of Mike Madigan, this book is essential reading. What do you think is going to happen to him, Ray?
Well, the next step, yep. Rick, here is that he is appealing to stay out of prison while he pushes his overall appeal on his sentence. He was sentenced a few weeks ago to 7.5 years in prison,
yeah.
And he's supposed to go in if he doesn't get this opportunity to stay out. He is supposed to go in October, so he wants to ask, or he is asking the judge to say, you can stay out and let the courts review your case, and then we'll see what.
Do you find, now that you can editorialize, do you find anything in a sort of like a Shakespearean tragedy with this guy? Do you feel, or can you muster any sort of sympathy for Madigan? You guys were tied together in a strange way that reporters become tied to certain subjects and intensely covering them. Do you find any sorrow in this?
Well, I think it's a sad story for sure. And I think you hit it on the head when you said it's Shakespearean. The guy was on top of the world.
Oh.
He really ran the state house because even though he didn't have a veto power, the governor has a veto power on bills that come to him. Madigan had an effective veto power because if he didn't like a bill, he could stomp on it right there and stop it from going anywhere. So he had a lot of power through campaign fundraising, and it was just kind of the situation where everybody would ask, what's a speaker think of this bill? And I made that point in the book, too. I mean, everybody would say, well, what's the speaker think of this? So it all revolved around him, and he was, like I said, on top of the world, but then it came crashing down. And when it did, it came down hard.
Yeah. I think there's one more guy in the whole ComEd thing. I think Jay Doherty is yet to be...
Right.
Yet to be sentenced. I think that comes up next week or the week after. Do you think any of this, and I include Ed Burke in his guilty verdict too, as a longtime political observer, Ray, as one of the most astute political observers, does anything change now?
Well, you know, it's Illinois, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You have to say that. It's Chicago, it's Illinois, and the politicians just don't seem to have any shame. Some of them do. There's a lot of good politicians.
Sure,
there, but
sure.
When you look at the things that have happened, you would think that, you know, the indictment and conviction of the Speaker of the House, the indictment and conviction of the longest-serving
alderman,
city councilman, Ed Burke, you know. You would think that people would be trying to close some of the escape hatches and some of the loopholes that are in the laws that let them run a little too wild. But they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And you and I and several other reporters worked on a series last year called The Culture of Corruption.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We pointed out point by point, we went through all kinds of things that were being done and what could be done to change it. And none of those things happened.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that I wish Illinois politicians and I wish Illinois voters would take up and try to right the ship. I'm not saying because they haven't done these things that all of them are guilty of any of them, any of them are guilty of any of them. But the reality is that you put these tight laws in place. You put tight laws in place because you want to have guardrails that make a difference. And if you make the guardrails full of holes, then people are going to slip through them, and they're going to take advantage of them in ways that couldn't have even been conceived when they were written.
Exactly. And I was talking to somebody the last few days and saying, well, you know, everything's going to change. And I literally said to this person, I go, you know, even as we're talking, someone is making in this state an illegal move, whether it's for money, whether it's for power, whether it's for sex, whether that it's happening as we speak. And it's just, it's depressing in a way, right? It's depressing in a way. And you know, you think of the history of corruption in this state, in this city, and it's, talk about Shakespearean. It's like Shakespeare combined with, you know, Neil Simon, for God's sake. It's kind of funny. What are you, your wife must be beyond thrilled now. Or maybe not. She goes, wait a minute. Monday will come and she'll go to the office. Get out of here. Go to the office. She must really be thrilled. Yes?
Well, she seems real happy now. But, you know, there may come a time when she's like, what are you doing hanging around?
Get off that couch. Well, you're, get off that couch. What plans, you don't have to give me intimate details, but what plans do you two have? I mean, you must, when you and she sat down, it's kind of, what are we going to do now? What are you going to do now?
Well, we hope to do some traveling to some places out, you know, in other states. New York, I got some relatives out there I want to visit. And when it comes winter here, Rick, I'm actually going to try this snowbird thing for at least to see what it's like. I'm going to, I got a place rented down in Florida for January, February, and March.
Oh, so you've already done this. Where in Florida? I want to know. I want to know, because I'll get Pearson. I'll get Rick Pearson. We won't just rent a car. We'll need a driver. We're in Florida.
It's called Dunedin. It's just north of Tampa, Clearwater area.
Oh, it sounds great. And you'll have more time. You know, you'll get to read books. And I don't know. I've not worked in as long as I can remember. But they'll be. And, you know, you're certainly going to keep in touch with all of us, right? And it'll be interesting.
I hope so.
I'd love to have you back on the radio in 6 months and go, I didn't. You go, no, Rick, I'm really busy. I'm playing golf. Really, I'm really busy. I can't do anything. What about you? One thing, Ray, before I let you go, and again, congratulations, and you people will see Ray's name on the wall of the Billy Goat, and one of the living names on the wall of the Billy Goat. This book, I know that writing this book was kind of empowering for you, too. I mean, it is. Have you thought of perhaps another book?
Yeah, I have. I mean, the book about Madigan wrote about the investigation that was happening. Virtually every element came out in the trial that I was writing about. But the book came out the month he was indicted.
Yeah.
So I don't have any of the trial in there, and I don't have any of the Burke trial or any of the Tim Mapes, trial, or ComEd 4, or anything like that. So there's a lot of material out there, and the whole, you throw in the Danny Solis escapades, and you've got a lot of things to write about.
Yeah, I would love to see, and I hope your publisher is thinking the same thing too. Another sort of an updated The House That Madigan Built. You know, the record run of Illinois' Velvet Hammer, and how it all fell apart. I think that would be a remarkable, remarkable book. What are you going to do tomorrow morning?
Probably see if I'm getting that senior tax break on the property taxes.
Ray, it's been an ongoing pleasure to know you, and I do mean that. It's gonna continue on. You can. once a reporter, it's like being a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. You can't lose. You don't lose the qualities that made you a great reporter, and you won't lose them. And I'll be very interested to see how you, what road that leads you on. So go hug your wife and tell her you're going to go out in the morning anyway. You're going to take a walk just so she can get used to you. Congratulations, Ray.
Thanks again, Rick.
You
and
bet,
you're
pal.
The best. I appreciate
you bet.
It. I've
you
enjoyed
bet.
Our time together.
My pleasure. Me too, pal. Take care. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Ray Long. They had a celebration of his life and career at the Billy Goat.